Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Wash your hands.
Thanks, Dermot. How are you on this Thursday afternoon? 51551 if you want to contact the programme, or ray@rte.ie. And if you're sending stuff in with snail mail, it's the Ray Darcy Show, RTE Donnybrook, Dublin 4. And we're getting in a calendar a day, because we're building up to our Charity Calendar of the Year Award ceremony. It's going to be a biggie. There'll be people zooming in from all over the country, people in tux and fancy goonas sitting there waiting to see if their charity calendar wins the title, the coveted title of the inaugural Ray Darcy Show Charity Calendar of the Year. And in today, we got one from Joanne, and it's from the Down Syndrome Centre in Cabinteely, Kilbogget. I've never heard of Kilbogget before, but it's a place in Dublin on the Bray Road out near Cabinteely. And that's where the Down Syndrome Centre is. And it's a beautiful calendar. It's just such a beautiful calendar. There's Hugh, Mr. January, age 5, in his yellow anorak, up in a tree. And La Serena, age 4, in her pink leather jacket and her balloons. And lovely little Kiva, age 3, with her lanterns. She's Miss March. And Mr. April is Elliot, looking very suave in his blue anorak and his umbrella. A bit like Gene Kelly in Singing in the Rain. Aaron, age 4, Mr. May. And there's Miss June is Lauren, age 9, down by the riverside with petals in her hair. And Leisha and Eve, sisters, aged 8 and age 4. And they're hiding in a bush, having the crack. There's Liam, who's a big fan of football, aged 8, Mr. August. And September is Fiona, age 2. Sitting on a bale of hay. And there's Ben and Hannah. They're having their crack, surrounded by pumpkins. And November is little Rhea, age 2, looking like a little princess. And Leela is age 5, and she's Miss December with her Christmas lights and her star. And it's just such a beautiful little calendar there. And the photographer is Connor Healy, and he's done a brilliant job. So well done to everybody there. It's a fiver. So if you're out around that area, the Down Syndrome Centre, established in 2014, a place to thrive. I'm able to. 2021, that's the title of their calendar. So well done to everybody there. Do you know when you spot a word or you spot something and then it keeps, you know, keeps propping up, keeps, yeah, opacity. So I was reading an article this morning in The Independent about Giuliani. You know, he's Donald Trump's personal attorney, and he's the former mayor of New York City. Well, the headline reads, Giuliani struggles during first day in court for 30 years. So he's in a place called Williamsport in Pennsylvania. And he's trying to, you know, prove that the election was a fix. Of course, there's no evidence to suggest that. But he had a nightmare of a day. He mistook the judge for some other judge. And then he tripped himself up over the meaning of opacity. This is the word, your word of the day, O-P-A-C-I-T-Y, opacity. And then he says, I'm not quite sure I know what opacity means. It probably means you can see it, or you can see right. It means you can't see it, or you can't see right, says the district judge, Matthew Brann. So that's opacity there. And then I was reading an article by David Kenny in the Irish Times about the ongoing appointment of Seamus Wolfe to the Supreme Court. And David's writing about it, and there's loads of analysis and coverage of that in all the papers today. And he's describing the process. And he says, the government defending this appointment has highlighted that the opacity, there's the word again, of this process was not unusual. So I looked up opacity, and it says the quality of lacking transparency, opacity. Nice. You see, opaque. Opacity, lacking transparency. And then I went back to David Kenny's sentence. The government defending this appointment has highlighted that the opacity, that would be the lack of transparency, of this process was not unusual. So that's two negatives, makes a positive. So that was usual. So has highlighted that the lack of transparency was usual. So there you go. That's in layman's terms. But of course, it's a legal issue. So and David Kenny is an assistant professor of law at Trinity College Dublin, so it's legalese. So you can take that word and use it around the place today. Opacity. Yeah. Oh, it's back in the news again, lads. Fairy tale New York. Yeah. It's become a perennial now, hasn't it? BBC Radio 1 will not play the original version of Fairy Tale New York by the Pogues and Kirsten MacColl this Christmas because its audience may be offended by some of the lyrics. The station's spokesperson said young listeners were particularly sensitive to derogatory terms for gender and sexuality. It will instead play an edited version with different lyrics sung by MacColl. Here's the odd thing. So that's BBC Radio 1, which is the young station over there. And then BBC Radio 2, which is geared at an older audience, they're going to play the original, unedited, uncensored. And then 6 Music, which is a digital radio station run by the BBC, they're going to give their DJs a choice. So they can have the edited version, the censored version, or the unedited, uncensored version. A BBC spokesman said, in his tux, "We know the song is considered a Christmas classic and we will continue to play it this year, with our radio stations choosing the version of the song most relevant for their audience." It's mad. I see back in 2007, Radio 1 had censored it back, so that's 13 years ago. But they swiftly reversed their decision after an outcry by its fans. And Andy Parfitt, the controller of BBC Radio 1 at the time, he says he explained the U-turn by saying its audiences were smart enough to distinguish between maliciousness and creative freedom. And there was no negative intent behind the use of the words. So expect the debate again, you know, about art and all that sort of thing. And anyway, I wonder what will happen here. There's a great story doing the rounds about a little owl found in a tree that was brought to decorate the Rockefeller Center, in New York. A saw-wet owl. And we've managed to track down the sanctuary that has the little owl and is feeding it and bringing it back to full health. And we'll be talking to them later on. And we also have to find a COVID-friendly Christmas tree. You see, you didn't think of this, did you? You didn't think of this. With all hygiene, particularly in hospitals, and this is for a hospital, that you can't put up your traditional Christmas tree, like the one they have in the Rockefeller Center. That'd be too big. But you know, the traditional one, the spruce or whatever it is, because that can't be cleaned properly. So you need something that could be easily cleaned. But particularly when it comes to children's hospitals and children's wards, you do need a Christmas tree, because if you don't have one, where is Santa going to put the presents if he doesn't have a Christmas tree to put them under? So that's a big thing. So if you have any suggestions for that, we'll be talking about that. And we meet an amazing family, well, most of an amazing family from Cork, called the McCarthys. And they've had a tragic year, but they're very positive about the whole thing, and we'll be talking to them. And after 4 o'clock, of course, we have our quiz, which I'm going to tell you about now. It's our quiz of today. Today being the 19th of November, 2020. We've cobbled together 10 questions from over the years, from the newspapers and the archives, events, news stories, scientific breakthroughs, songs, TV programmes, films, births, deaths that happened on this day. So that's why we call it the quiz of today. So 10 questions, 2 people each to answer 5 questions each. And whoever answers most correctly will get a lovely 2-night stay at Ballinahinch Castle Hotel, surrounded by 700 acres of pristine wooded grounds and one of Connemara's oldest landscaped gardens. Enjoy a 2-night stay in a beautiful Riverview room with breakfast and dinner in the cosy and characterful Fisherman's Pub. And there are loads of things to do down there. Fly fishing, cycling, lobster fishing, clay pigeon shooting, very posh, and loads of other things. And you can cycle down the Connemara Greenway from Westport to Ackle, which is a lovely cycle. Is that it? No, that's not. That's a different one. That's up Mayo. I've never been on the Connemara Greenway. I must find out more about that. Ballinahinchcastle.com for more details. And our qualifying question today: which county in Ireland is known as the Rebel County? That's an easy one. Which county in Ireland is known as the Rebel County? 1850 715 900. That's 1850 715 900. Opaque tights. Did you ever hear of them? I did. You see, I knew the word opaque and I knew what it meant, but I hadn't, you know, the variation, opacity, I wasn't familiar with. And then I saw it once and then I saw it twice. So it's my word of the day, opacity. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Good afternoon. Galway Band The Rains, and that's their new single, Bare Feet on Grass, which is a lovely sensation, a beautiful sensation. If you can do it, watch out for the glass. in the grass. I've been buying paint for donkey's ears now, and often written on this tin is high opacity or opacity. I've always assumed this meant a high ability to cover or good coverage. So opacity can mean lack of transparency, I suppose. Yes, that's according to the English dictionary there. Fairytale New York, political correctness gone mad. I'm in the play it with no censorship camp. Will you be playing it? I will, Paul, but it's a little bit early. It's a little bit early to be playing that. And Ray, Johnny Cash, I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. Is that to be banned now because of incitement to violence, John? You see, it's like Fairytale New York is art, right? And you know, obviously there are things in books that will offend people in things in movies and TV programs and all that sort of thing. But I suppose the argument is that you can avoid all of those things, but you can't avoid Fairytale New York because you're going into a shop and they have a certain radio station on and they're playing the uncensored version and it may offend. I think that's the argument. But you'll hear it trotted out anyway over the coming while. WhatsApp groups, yes. Particularly ones involved with schools and particularly primary schools. I hear Jenny talk an awful lot about them. And she always says to me, why aren't you on the WhatsApp group? And I say, I don't know. I've no idea. I don't know. And then we leave it and it comes up a few weeks. Why aren't you on the WhatsApp group? Anyway, Emma Dorn. We love Emma Dorn. She helped us with the Stand Up and Be Funny competition. She's a comedian. We've had her on the show a number of times. And she puts up videos on social media. Anyway, she's done one on the WhatsApp group. It's funny. It's funny. It's have a listen.
Hey everyone, I'm going to do a collection for Miss Healy for Christmas. So how about €5 or whatever you'd like to give? Absolutely zero pressure.
It's going to start now.
Super idea, Aoife.
We'd be lost without you.
You're so good, Aoife. I just thought the exact same thing. Like, I literally just said it today.
Aidan came home without his jumper today. If people could maybe have a look.
You're a star bar, Aoife.
Thanks, Aoife. It's so nice to give back to Miss Healy.
Thank you.
Amazeballs, Aoife.
It has a small rip on the left sleeve, if anyone has it.
Ah, yeah, the WhatsApp group. Why aren't you on the WhatsApp group? Now you know why.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
He has a great voice, doesn't he, Barack Obama? That could put you to sleep. Just get his audiobook and his dulcet tones will put you to sleep. Go to bed with Barack Obama. Now, consultant paediatrician Dr. Niamh Lynch got in touch with us with a special request. Christmas will look a bit different this year for all of us, but especially for children in hospital. Niamh is on the line. How are you doing, Niamh?
Hi, Ray. How's it going?
Good. Good to talk to you again. I've been telling them that you're looking for a COVID-friendly Christmas tree.
Yeah, you probably think I sit at home thinking up impossible challenges for you to do. Last time it was the rooster.
Yes.
I promise I don't. I do actually do some work in the meantime.
And some very valuable work. Some very valuable work.
We were talking this morning on the ward. The nurse manager on the ward is an amazing lady called Tony Walsh. But she broke the bad news to me that we probably won't be able to have a Christmas tree on the ward because of COVID.
Mm.
So she made the point that we have to have, you know, surfaces have to be cleaned frequently and, you know, the ward needs to be as clutter-free as possible. And the other thing is that children are in isolation in their rooms now. They're not allowed out onto the corridor to mingle with each other because, you know, in case they pass bugs to each other. So it's a very, very different environment to the Christmas that we're used to on the children's ward. And so it's just that maybe a little bit extra hard for families being there at this time of year. So I just put out a tweet this afternoon or this morning going, does anybody know of a COVID-proof Christmas tree? It probably doesn't exist. And maybe there are other clever ideas that could be done in children's rooms, you know, but that's why I'm on to you.
Great. Well, it's the Bonsecours Hospital and you're looking for one for the children's ward. And I was just saying that Santa needs a tree to put the presents underneath, doesn't he? Well, he can work around it, but that's the ideal situation.
Yeah. Now, look, hopefully there won't be many children in hospital at all this Christmas because there's an awful lot less chest infections going around, ironically, because children aren't catching the usual coughs and colds because everybody is being so careful.
Yes.
So we're finding this year children with asthma and babies who get bronchiolitis and things like that, they're not actually getting that sick. We're not seeing too much of it, which is
so
great.
That's one positive of
that's
the
one positive,
pandemic.
But,
yes. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you are a little child on any children's ward in any hospital in any part of the country this year, I think potentially the Christmas tree could be an issue.
Okay.
Not just for us in the Bonds, but it could be a nationwide problem.
And yeah. And in your chats this morning on the ward, did you come up with any possible solutions?
Not really,
no.
So we love lighting up the ward at Christmas time. A few years ago, I won't divulge too much information about this patient, but they had they were very young, but unfortunately didn't live very long. And they were in with us over Christmas, and we lit up the whole ward with lights along the ceiling, and it just entranced this child. And so we've made a big deal, and that was that child's last Christmas. So we lit up the ward, and ever since we've kind of been doing that in that child's memory. So we've been allowed our lights, so they're safe.
It's magical, and it's different.
It
and
is,
It's comforting, all of those things which are important when you're sick
now,
in the hospital.
The other thing then is the elf, you know, because the elf obviously...
The elf on the shelf.
Yeah, he arrives, you see, and we don't know if he's done the self-isolation thing or, you know, so we're a bit worried about that. So we've made a little chamber for him and he has to go into elf isolation.
Right, just, well for 14 days, I think it's 10 days now, is it?
Well, he has a little jar that he will have to go into every day when he comes back.
Well, that's fair enough, that's fair enough.
So he, but so that nobody can touch him either.
Yes,
basically.
Yeah.
So we have worked a few workarounds, but... the tree, I suppose, look, you know, it's probably not going to be possible. But, you know, even if we could get something small that could go in each child's room that is cleanable and looks like a tree, that would be great.
Can I just say that we have some very clever and inventive listeners to the show? And I think we're going to solve your problem. Already? I've only been talking to you for 3 minutes, Niamh. Now, I did mention at the top of the show. Michael from Dublin 12 says an inflatable tree could be washed down. Somebody else says, well, asks the question, could the tree be put in a glass box or case and the box could be cleaned?
That's an idea.
Yes, and then somebody else says a similar one, could the tree be covered in a dome of see-through plastic?
Yeah, kind of plexiglass or whatever.
Put one on the wall with lights from IKEA and use sticky wallpaper.
We could put lights in the shape of a tree. Yeah.
Now we have a miniature version of this at home. It's if you can imagine, two cut out pieces of wood in the shape of a Christmas tree, and then you slot them in at right angles to each other. So it creates a three dimensional tree. It's the Midlands thing working on me now. But I've been online. You can get them 4 foot tall, and they're impressive. Look great, easily cleaned.
Yes,
they're a bit expensive. They're a bit expensive, and they don't ship to Ireland. But apart from that, it's a good idea.
But you know, maybe there's somebody handy out there who can actually make these things. Yeah,
because if you had the skills and the tools, I'd imagine it's easy enough to make.
Yeah.
So that's a possibility too.
Yeah.
Very very cleanable and wipe downable.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's not just a problem for us. I said, Christmas is going to be very very different for children in hospital this year, and you know, I always love working at Christmas, actually. It's a very special feeling when you go into the hospital because you realise that what's important really is health and your loved ones. And I think maybe that's the kind of Christmas we're all going to have this year anyway.
We will appreciate a lot more what we have. Family, health, loved ones, all that. Yeah, go on.
But if a child is in hospital, their family won't be able to visit them.
Yeah.
You know, they'll have one parent.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, normally on Christmas Day, the families will come in and it's all very nice. And, you know, it's just a nice atmosphere, but it will be different this year. So if we could make it nice, that would be great.
So, Niamh, what's the lady's name you mentioned at the top of the interview?
She's the nurse manager. Oh, Tony Walsh.
Tony. And as Tony and yourself and everybody has ruled out an artificial tree, it's just too much going on.
We always have an artificial tree.
Oh, yeah, so that's gone. That's gone. Okay.
But it's just not cleanable. That's the problem.
Yes, yeah. So John Brennan has offered one, but thanks, John. He's from christmastrees.ie, but they can't have one.
Yeah.
Other, Dave in Chelmsford. How are you doing, Dave? He says, what about using a projector?
That's a nice idea.
Projector of tree onto the wall and put presents
that's
under
a very
it.
Good idea.
A virtual one.
Yeah.
If there was somebody out there who could, that slotted thing, because they look great, and they have a presence, you know what I mean? And they're very easy to clean. It's birch
kind of natural.
Plywood, yeah, birch plywood. Mm. Now, they come in at €430, but if there was somebody out there who could make one or who has one that they don't want, bought it a few years ago and didn't like it.
The only thing is they'd probably end up having to make it for every children's ward in the country, you know. Well, they could be busy.
Well, it could give you one as an introductory offer and then sell the rest of them, yeah. Okay. So, Niamh Lynch from the Bonsecour Hospital, she wants a COVID-friendly Christmas tree option. That's what you're looking for. We've got some great suggestions already. Keep them coming in, Niamh. And we'll talk to you before the end of the week, which is tomorrow, I suppose. We'll talk to you tomorrow and see what else we have. Okay. Thanks, Niamh. Mind yourself. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551, ray@rte.ie. Now, we spotted our next guests on TikTok. They're refurbishing a double-decker bus on their farm in Balnadee in West Cork. And they hope to be open for business sometime next year. And they're in our Cork studio and we welcome the McCarthys, Rachel, Thomas and Anna. Good afternoon.
Hey.
You're getting a lot of traction, aren't you, on social media with your TikTok posts?
Yeah, we are, to be fair. That's all Rachel.
Like. Yeah, can I just blew up out of nowhere? Like, we put it up just for just a project or whatever, and then out of nowhere, literally 1.8 million views.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think it's the double-decker bus got them. Was it, Rachel?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. None of my other videos got them. Absolutely.
Okay, you've had a tumultuous, tragic year. I just want to find out a little bit about the three of you first before we talk about the bus and other things. So before lockdown then, Rachel, what were you up to?
I was in CIT studying horticulture in up in Cork, and I was just living up there having a good time, and then obviously lockdown happened, so I moved from Cork back down to my hometown village in Balnadee, and then was farming and kind of doing college from home from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about you, Thomas?
I was over in Canada. I was living in Whistler. It's like a ski resort, an hour and a half north of Vancouver. So I was up there working in the mountains, skiing, you know, having a good time.
what were you doing?
I was doing line control on the mountains for the resort, and then I was working as a cocktail bartender, so it was good crack.
Excuse me. What is line control?
So I was standing at a ski lift and kind of putting feeding the singles line into the group line.
Oh yeah, sorry, line as in they say line, we say queue.
Exactly. Yeah,
queue control. Fine. Great. And Anna.
Yeah, my life is a bit more boring, but compared to that. I was working in a preschool. I was managing it at the time before lockdown, and then when COVID hit, we had to shut down. So it was kind of. Kind of went from there.
So the two of you were back on the farm, and Thomas, you were off in Canada.
Yeah.
So May the 1st, this is, I don't know how you're coping, and I don't know how you coped. Who wants to talk me through that day? I suppose, Rachel, if you would, yeah.
Yeah, so I was actually really lucky to spend all my COVID with Dad, every minute of him with him. I'd go outside, farm each day, and so May the 1st came, 9:25, alarm went off, hopped out of bed, and just did the normal jobs with Dad during the day, and everything seemed fine. He was asking me how's college, and I was like, you know, grand. Geez, hopefully I passed these exams, and that was grand. And then he was telling me and showing me so much information that I was like, whoa, can we go inside, have some like breakfast and talk about it? And then as I was waiting for him, like, Dad actually never came back, and unfortunately, our cousin actually came to the door and told us the news that Dad has took his own life that day. So it was a day that changed our lives forever, I think. Yeah.
So he'd gone to his mother's grave and taken his own life.
Yeah, exactly.
What sort of information was he talking to you about that morning?
Like, honestly, it seemed so fine, but I think he was trying to show me things because I study horticulture and the farm is something I've always been interested in, and I can't wait to take it over. And he was kind of showing me things during COVID, like, this now, you have to do this and we'll have to learn this. And that day there was just so much, and things that seemed normal, but now when I look back, like, for example, there was a crack in one of the walls and he was like, Rachel, you need to fix this now tomorrow. And I was like, oh my God, we can just do that now. And he was like, no, just get Uncle Donnie to help you to do it tomorrow. And I was thinking, okay, strange, maybe he has other things to do today. So,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
You know, when you look back on things and you can place importance on them that you didn't see at the time.
Yeah.
So how What went through your head then when your cousin came knocking on the door and shared the news with you?
So I was doing assignments, and I was actually just off FaceTime with one of my best friends, and she came to the door and she was white as a ghost. And I straight away said, "Oh my God, Colette, are you okay?" And when she said to me, "Oh, Paddy, he's not here." And I was like, "Oh, he's just over in the farm. I'll go grab him for you." And then when she told me that what happened, that he's after taking his own life, I've never felt something in my body. I collapsed to the ground, was screaming. And I think after that was kind of a blur. But yeah, it was something that I will never, ever forget, for sure.
Anna, how did you find out?
So I found out that morning as well, but the night before, Mom and Dad had spent the evening with me and my partner, Aidan. So it was a lovely evening we had together. We had pizza, we had a few drinks, we were chatting and we were reminiscing about Dad's kind of childhood, and he was joking. And looking back now, he said one or two things that, you know, upon reflection, you should think, wow, okay, maybe something's all right here. But the next morning, after them leaving, the night before, he said goodbye and everything. The next morning, the same cousin, Colette, she came to my door with my mother, and they had just ran upstairs to my partner to get him, thinking, I suppose, that maybe he can maybe help, you know, be there with me when they break the news. But anyway, I knew something was wrong, so I kind of ran down to Colette and I was like, what's going on, you know? And they told me, and like, I feel like I left my body. It was just, you can't even describe the moment they tell you. It's just, you don't believe it. Like, I kept pointing to the chair and I was like, he was here last night. No, he was right here in his seat. And I'd say the whole of my estate heard me screaming and roaring. Yeah. And and then after about 5 minutes, I just said, right, take me to him. You know, something just comes over you to just, you know, get to where he is and be there next to him. Right. So that was our next thing, you know, just get there and try contact Thomas, you know.
So both you and Rachel went?
Yeah, straight to where.
So and our younger brother Niall, yeah.
Well. Younger brother Niall, and that's to your granny's grave. And how was your mum through all of this?
Well, when it happened first, I think mom's main, you know, kind of objective, or, you know, she was like, right, I need to be strong for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't think it actually hit her. You know, it didn't hit her for weeks, we'll be honest.
Hasn't hit her yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Thomas, you get that phone call that nobody wants to get.
Yeah. And where I was as well, we're 8 hours behind. So my roommate Jennifer came into my room, I think it was about 7 in the morning, and she said, wake up, Rachel's trying to contact you, my sister Rachel, because they'd be friendly from when they were living in Canada together.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I went up to check my phone and I saw 2 missed calls from Anna and 2 missed calls from Rachel, but I usually sleep with my phone on silent. So I kind of knew something was really wrong. And then I opened the phone, I rang them back, and then I think Mam answered, or I don't know if I rang Anna or Rachel, but they were all sitting down, and then they're like, I remember Rachel saying, oh, are you sitting down? I have something to tell you. I was like, just tell me, because I knew something bad was after happening. And she was like, are you by yourself? Is there someone there? I was like, just tell me. And I was getting like really frustrated. Mm-hmm. And then, they were all on, it was like a video call. They were all sitting down the couch, and then they just said, I think Mam said, oh, your father's after taking his own life. And I was just like, no, he's not. That's like, just didn't make sense at the time. And she was like, no, he is. So then I was like, I have to hang up the phone and like to process it, because I was like, I just didn't believe it, you know. And then hung up the phone, and then I told all the girls I was living with at the time, and it didn't feel real, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How would it? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you had to go about booking in the middle of a global pandemic. You had to get home.
Yeah.
How long did that take you?
After I hung up the call with the girls, I was on the laptop. Like, well, my roommates were really good, like Trina and Mary Kate. They helped me book flights straight away. So there was a flight from Vancouver to Dublin the next day. I think it was like 10 o'clock. And that was three different flights, 24, 25 hours.
Right.
So Vancouver, Toronto, London, London, Dublin. But like, all the planes were completely empty. The stewardess, they were like hazmat suits and stuff. It was bizarre, like, and they weren't serving any food or any alcohol on any of the flights. And I just remember thinking, like, why am I going home? Like, why am I? I just didn't want to leave Canada at all. I was applying for my permanent residency, so I didn't want to go home. So I just kept thinking, like, why am I going home? And it just didn't feel real at all.
Yeah,
It was mad.
So Erie, that must have been Erie. So you're travelling on your own.
Yeah.
It would have been Erie if you weren't travelling home to face what you had to face.
Yeah.
That must have been a tough journey for you.
Yeah, I wouldn't wish it on anyone, to be honest.
Yeah.
It wasn't good.
Rachel, tell us a little bit about your dad. So he was 59, farmer.
Yeah, dad was full of life. I loved farming, loved the land, loved dancing. Every second Thursday, I'd drive down with him and his best friend, Paddy, and we'd go to Kinsale, dance, listen to music. He's just full of life, and he never looked like he was suffering or in pain. He was always joking, just smiling, and yeah, he's just an amazing dad. He's given us everything, and he was one of a kind.
And there was no hint at all. Had he spoken to the GP or had he ever sought help? No.
No.
Never.
Never know there was anything wrong. He was the life of the party. That's how frightening it is.
It is frightening, isn't it? Yeah. It is very frightening.
Yeah.
He portrayed himself as, this tough, strong man, just keep working, it'll be fine. Never really talked about his feelings. But he obviously had his own demons.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When he was really young, dad is a triplet. They're identical triplets.
Right.
And it was Paddy, Gus and Tom. And when they were 7 years old, there was a farming accident and Tom was killed when he was seven.
Right.
And so dad and Gus would have been, and our Aunt Mary as well, she was there when it happened, so they would have seen that. So I don't think he really ever dealt with that tragedy as well.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different things, I think, that he never spoke about.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's four of you. Niall is the youngest.
Yeah.
Anna, you're the eldest.
Yeah.
And where, Thomas, you in the middle there, are you?
I'm in the middle. Yeah. I'm second, she's third.
Yeah. Right, okay. Right. And then the funeral comes. And at what stage in lockdown was that? How many people were allowed to go?
Ten in the church, yeah.
And your dad's from a big family, your mum's from a big family,
yeah.
and they're all very much around the area, are they?
Yeah,
we're lucky.
So how did you go about choosing? Who chooses or who decides who is allowed to go then?
I suppose we kind of just
kind of happened organically. We knew our closest family who should be in there.
So obviously his brothers and sisters, and then us, and then there wasn't really much room for
much else.
We had
his favourite cousin and. It was great. There were so many people outside,
you know, and
we had mics or we had speakers outside. So, we had...
And in the rain as well, they stayed out there for the whole thing, which was
great support.
Yeah, great support.
There was a great turnout for him and that's what we wanted.
Was there a eulogy?
Anna did the eulogy.
Yeah, it was
great.
Yeah, it was funny. She cursed quite a bit.
Oh, I did. the priest was not.
But Dad would
have wanted that.
Would he? Yes.
Yeah.
Was it anger or just...
No, it was dad's humour.
Dad's humour. Dad's humour. He would have looked down laughing at that.
And is that a constant now, I suppose, because we're coming on to talk about what you're doing with the farm and the Airbnb, and is he a constant presence in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. We'd see signs every day and we're very much
spiritual.
And we're kind of encouraged and pushed by dad, if you know what I mean. I suppose we all want to do good by him and still make him proud.
What sort of signs are you?
They see a little robin.
Well, we see lots of robins and feather. It's the usual, the usual what people
feather,
think.
But you really
take notice of things.
Even the other day when we were cleaning out a section for the bus and there was a robin there and I was kind of messing and I was like, oh, dad, how are you getting on? And the robin tweeted twice and I was like, oh my God,
it's you. Yeah, it's actually happening.
that was mad.
That gives you great comfort.
Absolutely.
And because so many people wanted to be there, because I believe your dad was a very popular man in the area, and couldn't be at the funeral, that they were contacting you and asking you what could they do. Mm-hmm. So you decided to fundraise for Pieta House. Is that it, Rachel?
Yeah. It was Thomas's actually came up with the idea.
Right. Go on, Thomas.
I think it was the 7th of May, because the Pieta House, they do the Darkness into Light every year.
Mm.
And this year they put out this kind of public thing on social media saying that it wasn't going ahead and they rely really heavily on public funding. So I think 80% of their funds are from the public. And I remember just lying in bed reading that and thinking, God, there must be something we could do, or something that would help in any way. And then I just thought, okay, let's set up this GoFundMe, because people can come to the house to sympathise. People can't really say they're sorry. So maybe they can donate in dad's name and it will help someone somewhere. And then that night, or that day, I think it was Friday, we put up the GoFundMe. And by 11 o'clock that night, it was on 10,000. And we were all sitting out in the patio. We were having a few drinks and we all just like cheers. And we were like, Jesus, this is madness. And we didn't expect it to go as high as it did. And it, you know, reached, I think 32 grand was the final amount. But like, we were just really happy that we could, if there was a family somewhere, and if someone was thinking of doing something that, like that dad did, we were thinking, okay, if we can spare that family this pain and you know, spare them what we're feeling, then it will be worth it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we just wanted to do something good. And I feel like he would be very happy with that as well.
Yeah. So tillage and beef farm. And how many generations has it been in the family?
Three or four.
I was looking at where Balnadí is. So it's between Kinsale and Bandon, and you're on the Bandon River. Which is all that area is a beautiful part of the country. It's just you probably don't appreciate it because you've, you know, that's your normal sort of but beautiful part of the country. So you, when did you start to have the chats about the future of the farm?
It was quite soon. It was, I suppose, three weeks, wasn't it?
Yeah.
After we really had to make decisions. You know, we all discussed it as a family and we got our dad's family in and, you know, with mom as well, obviously. And we just talked about, right, what's the next step, you know? And we knew Rachel was going to obviously take the farm over. But,
Put her own twist in it.
We rented a bit of it as well to like our neighbours, and they're great.
They're fantastic.
Really, really helpful people.
And your mum has her own job, so she's working away. She's a townie, is she?
She is.
What qualifies as a townie when you come from Balnadí?
Bandon
is a townie, right?
In by the town, like.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So you don't have to go to Cork, it's just Bandon will do. Fair enough. Okay, so you're stopping the beef. Is that on?
Yeah.
Is that a principle of yours? Or?
Yeah, like I think that, like watching the farm and when I was growing up, I always knew like this is just wrong. And then when I finally like took it over, and I remember we were taking some cattle to the factory, and I actually had to leave because I was getting so upset by it.
Yeah.
Like it's just, oh, like so wrong. So me and Anna were thinking, do you know what, let's just switch it out. Let's switch the whole thing. Yeah. Let's get rescue animals. Let's grow organic. Let's just plant more trees for the environment. Let's just do something totally different to what dad did, you know.
And how do you think he'd react to
that? Like, what are you doing? What's going on?
Yeah, so you've sort of broached that with him, and then Thomas steps in. He goes, you know, I stayed in a double decker bus down in Dingle, and I was thinking to do the same for the farm. Is that the way it happened, Thomas?
More or less. Like, I was down visiting my friend Roisin, and her mother and herself did something similar with a bus, and like they did it was really cool what they did. It was beautiful, and like we're all very impulsive, so I was like, lads, let's get a double decker. And the two girls were like, yeah, not a bother.
No thought.
Yeah, we didn't really put much thought into it.
So as it happened, Oven's coaches were selling off some of their double deckers because of, you know, a reduction in trade because of COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where do you advertise double decker buses when you're selling them?
So we were looking all over Dundee, but we couldn't really find anything.
Yeah.
I found one in Dublin, right, for 750, but it was gone after like 2 hours.
Right.
So we just started ringing local bus companies. And I think like on the 7th or 8th phone number we rang, we got in contact with Donal. He's such a sound man
such a nice guy.
And he was like saying like, yeah, we're selling off a bus. And we were like, okay. And he was like, it's a double decker. And we were like, oh yes. That's exactly what we wanted.
So how to go home.
Yeah.
So this is going to be on the farm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've gutted it already.
Yeah.
Who can talk me through the plans, you know, in a sort of Dermot Bannon style-y, as to how it's going to be laid out?
So downstairs, we're thinking open plan sitting room and kitchen.
Right.
And then upstairs, we want to have two bedrooms, one with a master bed and the other with twin beds. And then upstairs in the middle, there'll be like a lounge area with a pull-out couch.
Okay.
So you'll be able to sleep six at any given time.
And will there be a loo in it?
Oh, yeah. Bathroom and shower and everything.
Bathroom and shower.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So this has been done before, obviously, your friend down in Dingle.
Yeah.
It sounds great. It's like, and because of where you are in between Kinsale and Bandon, it's a big tourist hub there, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's a good spot. And like for ourselves.
Well, they'd like to be as well.
Yeah, I think we're doing as well as like, it's our project for lockdown. It's kind of keeping us sane.
Yes.
It's like, you know, it's positive for our mental health if we have something like this to do that's productive or proactive. Yeah. So I think for us it's been
channeling all that sadness and anger into something good.
Yes. Yeah. Talk to me about the anger, Rachel, a bit.
I think, I don't know, I just, when it happened, obviously like you're like overcome with a lot of emotions, and it's just the anger of why did he like obviously leave us, and like kind of questions that like I'll never get the answer to.
Mm.
And there is a bit of anger. Obviously, I think the sadness is a bit more, but there is anger there. But when I do projects like this, and when we like are productive,
yes,
and we see results, like we're doing our old farmhouse up at the moment as well, and when you see results in that, that really does help the anger, and yeah, it is getting less and less each day.
Mm. Mm. And did he leave a note?
Or?
Yeah.
It was very brief. But it was our younger brother. He was obsessed with finding this note. And I suppose we, in the moment, we didn't even think twice about a note, you know. But he found it anyway. And it was, you know, it was just very brief. It was just kind of stating that Rachel, you know, will mind the farm and take that over, and just that he's sorry and goodbye.
Right.
Yeah. Very short and sweet.
No explanation.
Nothing.
No.
I think he said, I can't stay here any longer. It's goodbye. That's for now, Paddy.
Janie Mackers. So that was a vote of confidence for you, Rachel, I suppose. Did you take that from it?
Yeah. I was kind of overwhelmed at the beginning, because I'm like, oh my God, he's giving me a... Like, we always spoke about it, but, it, you know, it was going to be years to come. And then when it actually happened, I was like, okay, I could either, like, do an amazing job and make him proud, or, like, kind of go downhill. So I took the opportunity to make it good and make him proud, and I was absolutely delighted when he passed it on to me.
This is a sort of sensitive question, but does that qualify as a will?
No, he kind of had...
They had a will anyway in place,
yeah,
and
right,
she would have inherited it anyway,
right,
in the will, you know.
Goes to Mam.
Yeah.
And then, but Rachel was always, you know, destined to be the farmer. She's the only one that showed the main interest.
Absolutely. Like.
So you were a cocktail waiter in Canada. Yeah, I can see that probably wasn't for you. You and Aidan, how long have you been going out together, Anna?
Nearly 3 years, yeah.
Right.
So he was really close with my dad. He's brilliant. He's been a great rock, and he's so good at helping us on the farm.
Yeah, he's been amazing.
He's been just brilliant. He's great, and you know, he's kind of experienced something similar time ago. So you know, he's just brilliant.
Yeah. Are you all seeking help?
In our own different ways, I suppose. Really, you know.
Because you know, we've talked about it already. Your dad didn't seek help.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And.
Yeah.
So it's important that you seek help. And
not
everything will suit everybody. And as you say, you know, in your own ways, but it's important that you do that, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And your mum?
Yeah, she is.
She's really getting help. Yeah. Trying really hard.
Yeah. I don't know what to say to you after that. You're like, it's been a real pleasure being in your company for the last 25 minutes or so, and I wish you the best.
Thanks so much.
And really do mind yourselves, because I get a sense that you're going on adrenaline here at the moment, and at some stage in the future, you know, probably at various times you might crash.
Yeah.
Just make sure there's somebody there for you when that happens.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Rachel. Thanks, Thomas. Thanks, Anna.
Thanks. Amanda.
Mind yourselves.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Very strong family. It sounds like it's a story straight out of a Christmas book, but a tiny owl has become world famous after being found in the Rockefeller 75-foot-tall Christmas tree in New York. The huge Norway spruce had been transported 150 miles with its wide-eyed stowaway, the owl, who is now in the care of Ellen Kalish in Ravensbeard Wildlife Centre in New York. And Ellen is on the line now. How are you doing, Ellen?
I'm fine, thank you.
Yeah, I'd say you're a bit bemused at all the attention.
I am. It's been a lot of communication.
Yes, yeah. Well, thanks so much for taking time out to take our call. So, you've named the owl Rockefeller, have you?
Yes.
What type of owl is it?
He's a little sawwet owl, SAW-WHET.
Right.
And they're native to North America, and in fact, all of America. So they are dwindling in their numbers. So this is such a great story, because we can bring awareness and education and hope.
Yeah. He looks very small. It is a he, is it? Yes. Do we know?
It's a male.
It's a male, yeah. He looks very small from the photographs.
He is very small. He's about 5 inches tall. He weighs about 2.5 ounces.
Yeah.
His wingspan is 18 inches, and his bones are hollow. It's just a wonderful little predator wrapped up in this adorable package.
So tell us the story as you know it.
Okay. The wife of the man who was working on the tree called me early Monday afternoon and asked if I rehabilitate owls. And I said, yes, you know, this is what we do. So she said, there was a pause, and she said, I would love, I don't have the owl, but my husband has it, and he's at work. So off the cuff, I asked her, you know, where does your husband work? And I almost fell off my chair when she said, the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree. So I thought, oh boy, this is crazy. I had no idea what kind of condition he'd be in.
Yeah.
And we wound up meeting halfway because she was about an hour south. And she handed over the bird, and he looked in great shape. So I was so optimistic and, you know, hopeful that he would be able to be released.
Okay. So what happened was they would have cut down the tree and then wrapped it up. And
yes.
What happened to the poor little Rockefeller then? And it took them 3 days, did it, to transport it from its place of origin?
Yes, it did. We don't know for sure. We'll probably never know because they can't tell us. But we think he was in the tree when they cut it down. He could have had a concussion or been stunned,
yeah.
He could remain in the tree. He might have been in a cavity in the tree,
yeah.
Or he, you know, just was clinging on to the branches. And when they wrapped it up, I think he could have been trapped in near the trunk, which is why, you know, his size, he survived.
He survived it. Wow, it's an amazing story.
Yeah.
And he's got a clean bill of health from the vet, and you set up a buffet of all-you-can-eat mice from.
Yes, he was very hungry from his long trip.
Yeah.
No food.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're definitely, look, if the rights for a movie are going, tell them I'll bid for them. Like, it's such a beautiful
you
story.
You got it.
Yeah, I know.
It was such a special story.
Yeah.
I just felt the world needed to hear it.
Yes, you're right. You're dead right. So what happens next?
So he will be released here at Ravensbeard. These owls are nomadic, and they basically don't have a territory or a home, which is why we can release him just about anywhere that there are pine trees and, you know, some forest cover.
What age is he?
We don't know.
You don't know.
We just know that he's an adult.
Yeah. And you're in, is it Saugerties? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
Saugerties, New York. How far from Manhattan is that now?
2 hours.
2 hours, okay, right.
2 hours north.
You've probably never seen the Alvin and the Chipmunks movies, but in one of them, exactly the same thing happens to Alvin and his mates.
No!
The tree's cut down, they're in it, it's transported into a big office, and that's how they get to meet the guy who makes them stars. So there you go.
Wonderful!
So, I don't know, don't be surprised if he starts talking to you tomorrow. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly. Oh,
okay,
that's
Ellen.
So funny.
Yeah, happy Christmas. Thanks for taking time out to talk to us.
Thank you as well.
Yeah, bye now. Bye. That's a wonderful story. That's Ellen Kalish there from the Ravensbeard Wildlife Centre, Saugerties in New York. And Ish Tosh and Ounder, Fiv Skelton and Oakta, Kieran O'Farta. Grumaga, Kieran. Thanks very much. 51551RadRT.e. Some great suggestions in about the Christmas tree. We were talking to Dr. Niamh Lynch there from the Bonsecours Hospital in Cork, and they need a COVID-friendly Christmas tree for the children's ward. How about teaming up with a local school, fifth or sixth class, will be well able to draw lovely decorations on A3 green card cut out to make the branches of a tree. These could then be laminated and stuck to the wall, says Maeve. Mary says, how about asking local secondary schools to get their transition year students to make them? Thanks for that, Mary. Aoife says, transparent perspex with a transfer of a Christmas tree with baubles, etc. Made like the one you were saying. 400 doesn't need hanging decorations. Oh, yeah. So you could do that with two perspex things cut out in the shape of a Christmas tree and then slotted into each other at a right angle. I see what you're saying there. That's a good suggestion, Aoife. Make a giant felt one, says Barbara. that sticks onto the wall with Velcro ornaments that kids can attach and take off, and then they can be turfed into the washing machine. You can put on loads of real lights too. They can have fun making it cheap and crafty. And somebody's been on from Cliha.ie. I can give a fell tree 1.3 metres high with 23 attachable items to hang. That's Owen. Thanks for that offer, Owen. And I'm a teacher in Shanganamore National School. We have a talented parent, Dave, who is making 4-foot wooden Christmas trees for us, very like those that Ray described on air a few minutes ago. I'd be happy to donate one to the hospital if it suits them. So loads of offers there and loads of suggestions. So thanks so much for that. And if you're thinking about it and you come up with something, don't be afraid to email us overnight, ray@rte.ie. Now, our quiz of today. Today being the 19th of November, in case you didn't know. Prize, great prize, 2-night stay at Ballinahinch Castle Hotel. It's on 700 acres of pristine wooded grounds. Loads of things to do there. Loads of things to do. Fly fishing and lobster fishing and pigeon shooting. That's clay pigeon shooting. Bicycle hire, hikes, walks, Connemara Greenway. You can find out more at ballinahinchcastle.com. On the line we have Megan Hines. How you doing, Megan?
Hi, how are you?
From Ahaskra.
That's me,
Is that how you pronounce it, Ahaskra?
That's it.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. How are things today with you, Megan?
Busy, Ray. Good, though. Yeah. We're a busy house. There's me and three babies. So I have two myself, and I mind a little guy.
Aha.
Yeah.
So you have, is it Aina or Ina? Aina.
Aina.
Aina and Bláthain. And
that's mine,
and then you mind Connor. And Bláthain is a lockdown baby.
It is. She was born on the 28th of March.
Wow, 20. Oh
yeah,
God! So we were just 2 weeks into lockdown.
It was just the start of Operation Fanacht, and yeah, it was an interesting time being in the labour wards that day.
Yeah,
on my own.
Yeah. So when the lockdown lifted at the end of June, did you get to meet? Did Bláthain get to meet all the relations?
No, I'm from Dublin originally, so we travelled up and she was able to see all her cousins, and my husband's from Mayo, so he got to meet, she got to meet her granddad from
great,
Mayo as well.
Great.
Yeah,
I'd say that was very emotional, all of those meetings.
It was. It's just so sad, you know, and even though we Skype my mum and dad in Dublin, it's just not the same, you know.
Yeah.
We can't wait to see them again.
Yeah. Well, it will pass. It will pass.
I know.
You used to be a chef.
I did, in my former life, a long time away.
Yeah, so what's on the menu this evening then, Megan?
I was listening to your show the other day and somebody was making a shepherd's pie and it put an absolute goo on me, so I had to make it.
Right. yours will be high-end, though.
No, it has a little glass of red wine in it, though. It's fine. It's reheated from yesterday as well.
All right, and what does the red wine do? Is it flavor? It's flavor, is it?
It's flavor, because you cook it off, because, you don't want to have the alcohol in
it. Does it bring a sweetness to it?
No, it's a nice kind of, depth of flavour.
I never understand that when they say in those posh cooking shows, there's a great depth of flavour there. What are you talking about? Anyway, okay. Megan, you're up against Shane Hayes and Ennis. How are you doing, Shane?
Hi, Ray. How's it going?
Not too bad. You're on your way home from work.
I'm just home from school at the moment, yeah.
Right. So you're not going to school, you're a teacher.
Coming to school, the day's work is done, yeah.
Yeah.
The education has been provided.
Right. Well done. Primary or secondary?
Maths and science, all the stuff they all love, you know.
Yeah. And how are things working out in the school since September?
Great. The kids are very resilient. So, I mean, it's been weird and tough at times, but the mood has been really, really good, in fairness. So it's actually pretty good. Yeah.
I'm not going to ask any questions about the 18th of December and the 1.5 days. I'll just leave that. It's not the place or time for that.
I can weigh in if you want me to know.
No, you're okay. You're okay. You're okay. So are you sort of semi-professional musician as well?
I'm in a group called Fox and the Frying Pan. We're a kind of an Irish folk group.
Fox and the Frying Pan, is it?
Fox in the Frying Pan.
Right. Fox in the Frying Pan. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'd say you're chomping at the bit there to do an old live gig.
Oh God, it'd be unbelievable. The lads were abroad in the States. Doing a bit of a tour in March, and lucky to get home out of it once all the lockdown happened.
Right.
So our summer tour last year was gone, and our October tour. So hopefully next March or summer or something.
You'll be back on the road, right?
Hopefully so, yeah.
Okay, five questions each on the 19th of November. I need your answers as quickly as possible. Whoever answers most gets the prize. If it's a draw, yep, we go to a tie-break situation. Good luck to Megan. Good luck to Shane.
Thank you.
Good luck, Megan.
Thank you.
Okay, Megan, first question for you. On this day in 1816, Warsaw University was established. Of which European country is Warsaw the capital?
Poland.
Is the correct answer. Shane, on this day in 1962, Todor Zhukov became leader of Bulgaria. What is the capital city of Bulgaria?
Sofia.
Is the correct answer. Well done. Megan, your second question is an audio one. Have a listen to this.
I think it has something to do with Ravenclaw. It'll be small, easily concealed. Anyone any ideas?
On this day in 2010, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1, the seventh film based on the books of J.K. Rowling, was released worldwide. Can you name the actor who played Harry Potter?
Daniel Radcliffe.
Is the correct answer. Are you a fan?
I am.
Fan. Yeah. Okay, Shane, your question is also an audio one. Have a listen to this.
I went downstairs, outside. I crept up into the barn. I was so scared to look inside, but I had to.
On this day in 1962, that actress who starred in The Accused, Panic Room and The Silence of the Lambs, which you heard there, was born in Los Angeles. Can you name her?
No, it's not coming. No.
Jodie Foster. Jodie Foster, yeah. And she played alongside Anthony Hopkins, who was brilliant in that. Okay, early days, don't fret, Shane. Megan, third question for you. On this day in 1863, which US president delivered his famous Gettysburg Address, which began 47 years ago?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, is it Nixon?
No, 1863.
Oh, sorry. Oh, God. I'm a bit late there.
Yeah, I have to take your first answer.
Oh, gosh, sorry.
What would you say now that you've heard 1863?
No, I would have said...
Don't know, Abraham Lincoln. Don't apologise. Yeah. Abraham Lincoln, yeah. Okay, Shane, a chance to get back level here if you get this right. On this day in 1949, Prince Rainier III was crowned as the 30th ruling prince of which European principality?
Spain?
No. Principality was the clue there. Monaco.
Okay.
I think I should give people advice before the start of the quiz to listen to the questions, because there's always little hints in clues in the questions. Okay, so two plays one. Megan, your fourth question is an audio one. Have a listen to this.
The tide is high, but I'm holding on. I'm gonna be your number one.
I'm doing the maths here. That song was number one on this day in 1980, which was 9 years before you were born. Is that correct?
It is, yes.
Can you name the band?
Blondie.
Yes, well done. There you go.
We like to see her as well, so.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, audio for you as well, Shane. Have a listen.
Under pressure.
That song was number one on this day in 1981. Shane, can you name the singer who duetted with Queen?
David Bowie.
Is the correct answer. So you're on two, Megan's on three. If Megan answers this question correctly, you can't catch her, Shane.
Okay, it's the mug I'm after, to be honest.
It's the mug you're after.
That's right.
We can finish it up now, Shane, if you like.
Yeah,
we might as well play it out for the crack.
Right, okay, right. Megan, if you get this right, Shane can't catch us, so good luck with this. Okay. Can you name the American fashion designer famous for his jeans and CK fragrances who was born on this day in 1942 in New York?
Calvin Klein.
Is the correct answer. 78 today.
Hi, Karen, how are you?
Hello, whoever's there. Hiya, whoever. Who's just come in? Oh, sorry. I heard somebody outside. Shane, you get your wish. You're going to get the mug.
Brilliant, way. You get what you wish for.
Yeah. I tell you what, seeing as you want it so much, we'll send you out two.
Okay.
And thanks for taking the call, and thanks, it's been such fun, and good luck with everything, and mind yourself. Okay, see you,
thanks,
Shane.
Thanks very much.
Megan, it's not a huge trip, but maybe that's a good thing.
I know, I'm so excited.
Yeah, you're off to Ballinahinch Castle Hotel when things get normal again. It sounds like a place you can pamper yourself, big open fires and all that sort of thing. Yeah. Yes.
I'm delighted.
Great. I'm delighted for you. Well done, Megan. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Mind yourself and all the family.
Bye.
Now, a lot of talk about Christmas. Are we taking a break? A lot of talk about Christmas and the lights were turned on in Limerick last night. It was a virtual turning on of Christmas lights. And the person who did the flipping of the switch, Amy Mulcahy, and we have Amy and her mum Sharon on the line now. How are you doing, Sharon?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Yeah, good. We spoke to you a few weeks ago because you were on Baz's DIY SOS. I think Amy found a place in all our hearts after we watched it on that Sunday night. Obviously, she found a place in the hearts of the people of Limerick. So tell us what happened last night.
It was the Limerick County Council. It was Councillor Catherine Sassbury that nominated Amy, and she contacted the Mayor's office here in Limerick to know could Amy turn on the lights, because after the show she was overwhelmed at how inspirational Amy was, and she felt Amy would be the perfect person for the job. So they came to the house and we put a lovely tree up. Amy and the twins were involved in decorating the tree and putting up the lights. And then Amy switched on the lights and all the lights in Limerick came on. It was absolutely amazing.
Brilliant.
It was lovely. And they had beautiful music. Singer Emma Langford in the background. So absolutely amazing. It was a fabulous experience to be a part of.
Yeah. You must be able to feel the outpouring of love for you and Amy since the programme went out on air.
Nothing prepared me, to be honest with you, Ray. We're absolutely overwhelmed as a family. The response that we received since the show was aired. I kind of got a bit of an indication prior to when it was being aired. DIY had said that the nation would fall in love with Amy, that she was inspirational, but nothing prepared us. The letters that we've received, the texts, she stole the heart. She was absolutely amazing on the programme. And I think people really enjoyed it. Like the feedback was that they found it really emotional, but they also found it very, really happy. Yeah. Like Baz was absolutely amazing.
Yes.
I think for us, because we never got the opportunity to see any of the, I only got to see one clip, which was the fire station. So all the clips, the work that Baz had done in the background with Amy, I'd never got to see any of that.
No, they struck up such a beautiful relationship, Baz and Amy.
You could really see the connection
between
the two of them. And it was so beautiful for us as Amy's parents to watch. The rapport between Baz and herself, it was absolutely brilliant. It was just, the whole show was absolutely lovely. And I think for me, as Amy's mom, Amy's obviously very inspirational, and Amy has to work very hard every day to get where she, for every piece of progress Amy has, she has to work very hard in order to get there. And I think it gives the nation the opportunity to see how hard Amy has to work.
Yeah.
In order to get there,
it's a word that's overused at the moment, but I'll use it, and it's fitting for Amy. She is truly inspirational. Your daughter
she
is.
She really is.
How is
I'm
she
so
today?
Proud. She's here and she's going to say hello.
Oh,
is she?
Oh, great. Okay.
She's going to come on, so I'm going to pass you on to Amy
Okay.
Hello, Ray.
Hi, Amy. Congratulations on everything.
Thanks. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
I was just saying to your mum that you are truly inspirational, and I believe that. You're such a wonderful human being, and I'm delighted to be talking to you. What was it like last night, flipping the switch?
It was brilliant.
Yeah, that's one for the memory book, isn't it? That one.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that Baz Ashmawe is still in contact with you, is he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's such a lovely man.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we'll talk again. Have a brilliant Christmas and well done again on everything.
Thanks,
Amy. Thanks, Sharon. See ya. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Or 51551. I'm sure that DIY SOS is still up on the RTE player if you didn't get to see it. It was the first one, and I think it took a while for people to cop on what was going on, so you might have missed that. It's a brilliant watch with Amy Mulcahy from Limerick. Now, the world according to Fiona Looney. How are you doing, Fiona?
I'm not too bad, Ray.
Great. There's a slight delay, so I'll do my best to ask you direct questions and stop when I'm finished. Okay, so
I will do. I love the new technology. Like, technically, I could probably run to the studio in the time the delay would take, but we're not allowed to do that anymore. So,
yeah. So you've a new pet in the house, Fiona.
We do. And there's a scale connected with the pet. So I don't know if you remember, 9 months ago, we lost our beloved 14-year-old family dog that we'd had since the kids were little. And I spoke about it on the show. And I remember actually giving out to you because you said, so will you get another one? And I said, how can you ask that? Like, and I could not countenance it at all. Anyway, 9 months later, lots of sadness and lots of begging from the kids. And eventually I kind of softened and said, OK, you know what? It's come to the point where I need to park all the... But who's going to look after it when you all move away from home and I'm the one who's going to have to sort it out, can't go on holidays, blah, blah, blah. And I kind of softened and I thought, you know what? I would love a dog because I'm missing the dog in the park. And cut a long story short, I had only decided, we had started the adoption process with Dogs Trust and the DSPCA. We'd gone through their forms and all this kind of thing to get a new lovely little dog. And my brother died very suddenly, very unexpectedly. And everything, this only happened last month, and everything, all of life got put on hold, including the adoption of the dog.
Were you close?
Thank you very much. My brother, Mark, funnily enough, loved cats, always, always had cats. And I could never see the point of cats. I'm allergic to them, as was Mark, by the way. But we constantly say, I used to say, don't get it. He was always taking in strays and all this. And literally on the day he died, the morning he died, I came home and there was a cat in the house. And I kind of, in the middle of everything and the grief, it took me a while and I kind of went, what's going on? Why is there a cat in the house? And the cat had just arrived while I was at the hospital. And the cat is still here. And here we are 6 weeks later. And we now suddenly I'm a cat lady. The last thing I expected to be. And it's been such a great consolation. And look, you know, you can read into that what you will, you know. And I know some people have said, oh, you know, Mark sent you the cat. And I probably, to be honest, don't really believe that, but I absolutely appreciate the timing. So we have this gorgeous little female cat who has come from we know not where. We've asked the neighbours and nobody seems to know where she's come from. But we've named her Marky and she is now living with us. But we still want a dog. So now we're going through the whole, we've kind of re-engaged with the whole dog adoption. And as people who are looking for dogs know, they are rare as, well, they're not rare as hen's teeth. Unfortunately, there's loads of them out there, but they cost a fortune and they're being brought through puppy farms and everyone knows what's going on with that. But we're now back. I never thought I'd be in this situation where I'm now going back and filling in the forms again, except now I'm requesting a puppy because it has to be able to live with a cat.
Right. Listen, sorry to hear about your brother, Mark. We're staying in your neighbourhood because there is excitement there recently.
Oh, honest to God. Do you know what? I was saying to Niamh there in the office earlier today, like, not to sound boastful, but I have met Sean Connery.
Right.
I have met Tom Hanks. I am more excited at the moment about the fact that the Christmas Super Value ad was filmed down the road for me. Literally, that's my claim to fame now.
It's a big ad. It's a great ad. It's caught the nation's attention, hasn't it?
It's brilliant. And I actually heard, I became aware of it because I heard about it. I think Ryan was talking about it on the radio the morning it was released. And I said, I must look at this. And I had a look and immediately realised, oh my God, That's the house down the road. And actually, to make it even more, to strengthen my tenuous enough connection to the ad. So that road is an extension of our road,
right.
But it has a different name. So, like, you know, it's kind of one is the park and one is the close of thing.
Yes, yeah.
Though we're not the park and the close, I have to point that out. But we do have the same door number. So frequently I get their post and they get ours. So we're always kind of dropping post into each other. So that's how connect. Now, obviously, the family that live in that house are not the family in the ad.
Yes.
No, we understand. We understand. Some of the neighbours around have been going, I've never seen that young flout on the road.
He's an actor.
You know, sort of going, it's not a documentary, it's an ad. But there has been great excitement. And my favourite fun fact about the ad is that, you know, the scene where himself and his friend are going across this green space and the friend says, you have to believe.
Yes.
They're actually on their way to Supervalue there. That's the green space you cut through to get to Supervalue, which is literally just around the corner there. But there's been great excitement on the road. And, you know, my kids saw it being filmed. They only filmed it a few weeks ago. They turned it around very quickly. They had seen it being filmed but hadn't realised what it was. But now we know, and it's, as I say, better than Sean Connery and Tom Hanks put together.
Speaking of Tom Hanks, Vernon Kay is boasting about meeting Tom Hanks, just like you. And you would know that because you're watching I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here for the first time.
For the first time, yeah, having given out yards about it for years and years. You know, to be honest, I kind of think that where I am in terms of, you know, Mark last month and the COVID and everything, it's just been such a difficult year. And I kind of realised my kids have watched it for years and I would be in another room watching kind of, you know, more highbrow television.
Yes.
And I just thought, I actually want to spend this hour every night with my kids, not having to overthink stuff and laughing at maybe the wrong bits or the right bits and just that kind of, you know, to be part of a kind of a community thing. So I'm still kind of turning up my nose and frowning at the abuse of animals, which I do think is terrible. But you know what? It's a bit like putting on a warm blanket, even though it's in freezing Wales. There's great comfort in it at this time.
Fiona, thanks so much. Commiserations again on the death of your brother. And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Fiona. Bye. Bye. That's it from us. Cormac and Sarah are on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Friday evening. No, Thursday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.